Hello, welcome everyone to Cloud Chat with Stefan and Matt. I'm one of your hosts, Stefan Stelter. Happy
I'm
to be
Matt
joined
Brown.
By Matt Brown. Yes, we are fortunate to have with us a repeat offender, a returning visitor to our Cloud Chat stage, Eduardo Rivera. Welcome.
Hi, I'm Eduardo. See, now I know when to do the hi. Hi.
That's right. You got the cue now. You remembered it, even without us bringing in the cue card, cue board. Love it. Welcome back, Eduardo. How are you
doing?
Thank you. Everything good? Remind everybody what you do for NetApp.
Yeah. So first, I'm doing well. Thank you for having me back. And I'm Eduardo Rivera, and I worked in NetApp IT. I manage an infrastructure team that is responsible for delivering, as I said before, hybrid cloud platforms, right? So we call this Cloud One. It's really about building things like infrastructure as a service, container as a service, all these things that our application developers want to consume from an infrastructure point of view. And they do so through a menu, click, and you get to the resources and start coding. So my team builds that infrastructure and that automation.
Excellent. So Stefan, we've been talking all kinds of different topics.
We have.
What's on top of mind today? What would you like to talk about today?
You know, I have done a few sessions on a book that I've read with a group of people, actually a collection of books, a series, Gene Kim, The Phoenix Project and The Unicorn Project are a couple of really fun books. And one of the things that comes up in the series is the idea of technical debt. And so I really attach to that in my brain. I think about it in a lot of different ways as I'm interacting with the tools that I use to do my job. And I you know, start to imagine as I'm creating a help desk ticket for something, like what must this be like on the other side, and what all evolved to make this situation happen? You know, what were the business logic changes and whatever else? So it made me want to ask somebody who's practicing in IT.
Yeah, it's definitely a real thing.
Tell me what it's like. And but yes,
I think that maybe
what does it mean to you?
Well, I was going to ask you. So you mentioned the Phoenix Project and Unicorn Project. I wanted to maybe, for people who may not be familiar, what is technical debt? I can define what I think it is. Maybe you can tell us what you spread. So technical debt to me it's a collection of to-dos, if you will, right? Things that you've accumulated over time, especially on the technology side. Like for instance, we don't have time to upgrade, time or budget to upgrade this particular server, right? Or we don't have time to write this automation for this new application because, it's not worth it. We have other things to do. Or broken windows, right? That you can do a couple of time that eventually becomes, now we can't deploy the latest version of the application because the server is like three versions behind. But to upgrade it, now we have to take the whole stack down, and it's a whole bunch of other to-dos, and it's a big, it's a much more expensive and difficult proposition today because we didn't take care of that a long time ago. And as time goes forward, you can accumulate more of those problems. So you accumulate more of that debt that eventually you have to pay back.
That's how
I see it.
Yeah. So I spent some time in the applications realm, and I think it's a great definition, Eduardo, but I would add, it's also application customizations that are
absolutely
piled on over time that you can't unwind, that prevent an application from being upgraded.
But that's right. So it goes to, I talk about in the context of like things that I didn't do, sometimes the things that you do that then become roadblocks for other things to happen. Like we bought this application, shrink wrap and ready to go, but we customize it so much that to upgrade it is impossible.
It's not possible anymore.
Right.
And just to kind of share from the field, many of our customers are in that boat, you know, and it's funny, Stefan. One of the things that, you know, you brought up is, you know, is it something that, you know, we intentionally do? It's happened over time, right?
Right.
One change, you make a change on top of that. And all of a sudden, 3 years later, making changes on top of the changes. And then you realize that the application can't grow with you. And I would say every industry, every vertical, every customer out there has technical debt in that context.
And it's also in different dimensions of it, right? So I can also think about it in the terms of standards, right? So we go through waves of standard. I mean, standard can be as simple as a naming convention for a machine, right? Or it could be that this is the version that we deploy here, or this is how we configure that. But over time, those things change. New technology comes along. It's like, oh man, I wish I had another character in that name. And then you change the standard, but you have all the old stuff that you don't deal with. And maybe sometimes it's okay to let it be, but that also accumulates things that eventually may go, you may find yourself having to pay back or, you know, deal with that debt.
That aligns to the interpretation of the idea of technical debt that I was thinking, especially in that context of, well, we have this thing that's urgent that needs doing, and that's going to take place of the thing that is important, which is to maintain, right? We've got some maintenance work that needs to be done, upgrading the server, patching some firmware, doing something. Well, there's this more urgent item that is taking precedence. And it's through that, that, well, it, that other activity, that important activity didn't go away. It still needs to be done, but does it ever get revisited? Those things seem to accumulate in a sense. And you can pay off that technical debt over time and or just let it accumulate as stuff that needs
it's,
to get
it's
done.
It's hard, right? It's hard to pay back.
It's real easy to kick that can down the road. And Eduardo, I'm sure you have just endless amounts of money too, right? To deal with all these problems, right?
So no, there's never enough money and never enough people or focus to get it all done. And to some degree, I think, I mean, this is not to be fatalistic, but you should accept some degree of technical debt that you're going to carry. The question is how much and where do you deal with it, right? And I think that, at least to speak from my experience, we deal a lot with what I'll call technical debt, especially when we do, you know, big changes like migrations. Like we talked, I think last time about the cloud and hybrid cloud and moving workloads. Well, whenever we are thinking about, let's say we have an application, we want to migrate to the cloud, and to do so, right, has to be somewhat modernized or perhaps refactored. That is a time where a lot of that technical debt comes to the show, and really we can shed it, right? Especially if you're going to refactor the application or redeploy it in a new landscape, that is, by itself may help you get rid of some of that. On the infrastructure side, which I've done plenty, doing migrations, let's say at one point in the past, I used to manage the storage team. And when we did a very large migrations of old storage technology to new technology, there's a whole bunch of volumes that get left behind. It's like nobody looked at them for years. And oh yeah, nobody needs that anymore. So we can delete that, right? So we have, there's opportunities in when you do this big migrations and big conversions to take care of some of that. But at the same time though, some of the configuration stuff that I talk about and whatnot, maybe dealt with more through automation. Like now, instead of writing down what all the things should be on a piece of paper, we just code it into some Ansible playbook and that executes and maintains it. And if I ever want to change it, I just change that. And that automation takes care of maintaining me away from, you know, accumulating more technical debt. So the different ways, I guess, that I can see it being addressed.
Yeah. I like the flashback to lift and shift as an approach to leveraging cloud and hybrid cloud in general. And I think we talked about maybe a cloud only approach or a cloud first approach to a specific application using cloud methodologies for developing and maintaining it. With microservices and serverless calls to get things done in infrastructures, does that change the nature of technical debt now that we've described what technical debt is to some extent? Does it get smaller? There's more of it, but the pieces are smaller, or is it the same sorts of things? Does it all go away because we've taken dev and ops and we've put them together and now we see
I don't think it goes away.
So it's all
and I look at microservices as being a potential way to unwind some of those customizations, to isolate them, to bring them to the API calls so you don't have them embedded in the core application. So I see it as a potential path to unwind it and actually remove some of the technical debt.
I think there's something there to explore. So certainly when you have a much older application stack that everything's sort of built in, to change, you have to change the whole thing, right? I'll mention one of our internal applications, like the NetApp support site, right? You do support on NetApp.com a few years ago was completely re-architected into a micro segmented application that runs on containers and stuff. Now, today, changing pieces of that ecosystem is a lot easier, right? So if you have to update parts of that ecosystem, it's easier to do than to, you know, start all over, right? or redeploy everything together again. So it is true that at least in my experience and my observation that having well thought out, you know, cloud native applications helps in dealing with avoiding the accumulation of some technical debt and dealing with the ones that you do have. It's a lot difficult to do with less flexible, less movable environments.
So I guess that continuous integration, continuous deployment capability does actually help,
right? So that helps you deploy it, right?
Some of that,
and that helps you with speed and agility,
right?
But it implies you have the speed and agility to actually change those elements. Because in the more traditional approach, the core application is actually hard coded, right? You're actually coding against the core. In the microservices approach, you're coding out here with API calls to the core. So you're never actually touching.
Right. So I mean, I'm going to throw an example and make up as I talk. So like you talk about APIs. Well, maybe the API layer is its own little service within the application stack, right? And maybe you have to update that somehow or change it. Well, you can change that without having to affect an entire ecosystem.
Exactly.
At the same
time, yes.
Right. So that's one, you know, simple example. That continuous deployment, continuous integration really has more to do with the fact that you have a mechanism to easily deploy new features, so easily deploy new versions of the application. And it gets more complicated. We can do like blue green deployments. You can have things like I forget the tool that we're using, but we have tools that allows you to see two environments at the same time and go one way or the other. That's a blue green deployment. It allows you to really sneak in, I'll say, new features and new stuff without showing to the end user that there's some big changes happening behind the scenes. They just kind of pop up. Oh, okay, I got a new button here. That's cool, right? That allows you to move forward, I'll say, the state of your application. And again, deal with this issue of technical debt and modernity without having to embark on a very long and very costly project of redo the entire stack.
Yeah, it's funny. The more I'm thinking about this, technical debt's an interesting thing because it never shows up on an IT report somewhere, right? Yeah, it's one of those things we all kind of know where it's at. I'm sorry.
Maybe some people track it. It's hard to track. It's all over the place.
It is a very thing hard to track.
What unit of measure do you use? Is it hours of work that we're deferring? Is it dollars associated with those hours? Does it matter where it is?
I think it's kind of the reason why it's a hard thing to manage.
In a weird way. Yeah, I don't think there's a unit that defines it, but I think it shows up in weird ways in the sense that I'm thinking of our environment. It shows up when we do our life cycle management programs. Like
that's a great example.
Let's talk about infrastructure, which is more familiar to me, but you know, looking at applications too. On the infrastructure side, we go through several iterations of life cycle management. What does it mean? Not only on the data center, anyways, new machines, but also new OSs and even patching, right? And all the kind of stuff that we need to do to maintain and improve the environment. Those are examples of us dealing with technical debt without even calling it technical debt.
Right.
You know? And we don't really, I don't think anybody's thinking that that's what it is, but that's what we're doing. We're trying to modernize and maintain the environments to a place that we can upgrade them and they can have all the full functionality of, you know, whatever modern operating system or platforms we're trying to run.
And to some extent, we're bringing that some of that discipline to the applications level too, with tolerate, invest, migrate, and eliminate the time model to really manage the whole application portfolio to bring some of that visibility there, which is the reason why we're moving our ERP as we speak to a SaaS platform.
Right. So what Matt's mentioning here is this time model, this TIME, it comes from Gartner and it stands for what you said, tolerate, invest, migrate, or eliminate.
Yep.
And the purpose of that model is kind of doing an assessment of technical debt, right? It's doing an assessment of what do we need to eliminate because it's no longer needed? What can we tolerate because it's the end of the road is a year away or so, and we're just gonna let it be until it dies, and then decide what to migrate and invest in terms of refactor, redo. And in doing that, you are, again, maybe without saying it, setting aside technical debt, kind of like giving a roadmap for those old items that you don't really need, and then setting yourself your future investments for where I'm gonna attack. I'm gonna say again, technical debt or things that need to be modernized or changed, whatnot. So it's an approach on the application side to deal with that problem.
This has been an excellent conversation. Thank you, Eduardo, so much for illuminating my concerns or maybe furthering the definition of technical debt for me. It's been super helpful. Thank you, Matt, as well for your contributions to the conversation. I think our audience owes you a debt of gratitude for clarifying technical debt. Horrible dad joke. He works in at the end. Thanks everybody for joining us for this episode of Cloud Chat with Stefan and Matt. Hope you enjoyed it. If you did, please like.
Don't forget to subscribe.
Yeah, that's right. And the little alert bell button, I think that does something too. Also, if you were moved by our conversation today and have questions, would like to comment, we would love to hear comments. We want them. We appreciate them. They make us very happy inside when you comment. So please do so. Thanks again for joining us. Thank you very much, Eduardo. We'll see you in the next episode. Thanks, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye.